I want to speak to you today a message we entitled Harnessing Your Emotions. Harnessing Your Emotions. And let's start with Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Praise the Lord. We'll flip through. We'll give you the time to flip through a few scriptures today so we can see it. Psalm 32, verse 8. The Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and the bridle, or they will not come to you. And let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that by your Spirit, you lead us and instruct us. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Lord, that we don't want to be controlled by the bit or bridle like a mule, but we want to be sensitive to your voice and be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk about today, harnessing your emotions. I just want to say, in talking about that, the world has a philosophy and their psychology put so much emphasis on how you feel. If you go see a psychologist, psychiatrist, sometimes they want to know, you got questions, things going on in your life. Well, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about this? And so much emphasis is on how we feel, and there's so many let our outward circumstances overly influence our inward state of mind, okay? Our outward circumstances, what's going on with people, relatives, family, job, coworkers, the world, the news, we let a lot of things on the outward influence how we feel or think inwardly in our state of mind or our attitude of our mind. But I want to let you know, praise the Lord, we who were born again, we're a newly created person, and we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside, and that should trump the circumstances around us on how we feel or think that day. Amen? Amen. So if we're led by the Spirit, we won't be overly influenced by what's going on outside and let our emotions start running like a wild horse. Praise God. We have the Spirit of the Lord, and the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits is self-control. So we don't have to let our emotions run us and change the attitude of our mind of how we think or feel that day. We can be led by the Spirit on how we think and feel. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can harness with the fruit of self-control. We can actually harness our emotions. Praise God. Yes, we're born again. We're teaching this counter to our culture that, you know, is so focused on emotions and feeling. Hey, emotions are a good thing. God created it. He created us to have emotions, and we have joy, we have peace, we have love, we have, praise God, we have different feelings. There's anger. But you know what? It's when the emotions get ahead and start changing the way you think and how your day is going to be affected, then it gets out of hand. We want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord and not led by our emotions. Galatians 5:22, famous verse that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, tenderness, faith, that and self-control, temperance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you've had trouble with self-control, you've had trouble with anger, bitterness, you've had trouble with different things, know and begin to speak and believe that everything you need for life and godliness in this life is inside the Spirit of the Lord, which lives in you. And now we can operate according to that. It is a change. It's a renewing of the mind, church, or how some people live, or how worldly people live, or how maybe you grew up in the attitude of the minds of your family, or you know, the people around you, or your friends, or your relatives, or your coworkers. We are different, praise God. We've been born again of the kingdom of God, and now we have the kingdom of God and its culture living inside of us, and we can operate daily according to the kingdom culture rather than the culture of those around us. It goes along with the message I preached a month ago. This was a follow-up message I was planning to do. The message we shared, the power of our words. Now we're talking about, praise God, harnessing our emotions. And with that, a big part of that is to be able to harness the tongue, which speaks out sometimes on how we're feeling. I'm encouraging you to learn to speak what God says than what your circumstances say. You see, this spiritual walk we're talking about, church, is not just some pie in the sky, you know, one day when we get there. No, we can take the kingdom of God and live it out in victorious life now. So what I'm talking about today is a very practical application of taking the word of God, put it into our practice of our daily life, and it changes how we live. It changes how we treat one another. It changes how we speak. It changes the attitude of our heart and our mind because it's the truth of the Spirit. Amen? How many believe with that said that you're really going to get something today? You've come expecting the Word of God's going to change us. I believe it too. Praise God. Even while I'm speaking it. Hallelujah. Amen. Galatians 5. Let's go ahead and go there. I started reading in verse 22. Like I said, I'm going to take a few moments and flip through the pages and ask you to flip with me. Or you can see it on your phone as well. We'll try to get them on the screen. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I know some of you in here had struggle in your past where you used to have to run from the law. Well, if you're living this way, hey, there's no law against love and faithfulness and patience. Okay? If you're living out the fruit of the Spirit, you won't have to look behind you at somebody chasing you. There's no law against living this way. Amen? Gentleness and against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. Everybody say, have crucified. Have crucified. I speak that boldly in faith as a done deal. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we talked about baptism. You died with him, in him, and have been buried. So don't see yourself as having to fight the flesh nature. See yourself as being dead to it already and born again alive. That is one of the keys to walk in this victory. If you're always fighting the flesh nature, you won't have the victory. But if you have the attitude of the mind, Christ, I died with him, I was buried with him, now I'm alive, and knowing who you are as the new creation, you all won't have to always be battling the old self, because in your mind, you know that you're the new man. Gosh, it's a lot easier to learn to follow walking as the new man than to always think of yourself as the old and trying to fight with it. Think of yourself as dead to sin and alive to God, and renew the attitude of your mind to who you are in Christ rather than who you were this way. Now take a message like this, and we're learning to harness our emotions and speak the words of life and speak encouragement and speak positive and harness what we say and bridle our tongue and learn to live out what's in it, because it's very important and powerful what you say. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I told you a few weeks ago that he put it so important that he calls it the Word of God became flesh. Everything's about the Word. So the words we believe and the words we say are so important, even with our salvation. You've got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So he puts that in our salvation. Praise the Lord. He's good. He's all right. Amen. Now, so it says, watch this, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. Everybody confess this with me. Remember, I taught you that confession is not about confessing sin anymore. It's about confessing Christ. So let's confess this. I live by the Spirit. So I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Amen? You're born again. You have the Spirit of God living. So I live by the Spirit. Hey, I walk in the Spirit. I'm going to confess this, speak this out loud in faith. I'm walking in the Spirit every day, all day. I walk in the Spirit every day, all day. I told y'all, me and God park at Walmart. We get out of Walmart. I say, God, where did we park? And he shows me. I walk with him daily, little things, big things, walk and talk with him. Being the attitude of my mind is I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm not a sinner. I'm not struggling with this, that. No, I have the life of Christ in me. I'm going to speak this. I'm going to believe this. I have the fruit of the Spirit because it's not me working the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit from the vine I'm plugged into. If I'm plugged into the vine, the fruit will come naturally. So I stay focused on being plugged into the Spirit of the Lord. And the fruit comes as a result of, praise God, I'm worshiping, I'm praising him. I know who I am. I'm secure in who I am. And the fruit of love comes out. He loved me first. Now I can love others with his love. And they see the fruit in me because I'm plugged into the vine. They don't see the fruit in me because I'm working so hard at it. They see the fruit in me because it flows because he's in me. So this walk is a entering his rest type of walk to harness our emotions. Well, man, I'm going to have trouble with that, Pastor. I'm so emotional. I let my emotions get out of whack. I'm always mad or offended or this or that. No, that's going to stop now by the word of God. It's going to change even now as we speak. Praise the Lord. So since we live by the Spirit, verse 25, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. No, we're on this path together, and we're growing together, and we're helping one another out. Now turn with me. I'm going to take the text or the meat of this message out of James. We're going to look at James 1 and then James 3. Keep flipping almost to Revelation. Go back a few pages. James chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Wow. You see how God puts a big emphasis on what we say? Didn't he speak the world into existence? So he values and puts a lot of emphasis on the word he says. He and his word are one. They can't be separated. So he wants us to live the same way, where we and our word are one. Who we are and what we say becomes one.
Yes.
Amen? So we always want to speak the word of life rather than the words resulting from our feelings or emotions that come from circumstances around us, rather than let what comes out of our mouth be birthed from what's in us, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's words will line up with the Word of God, not with the circumstance around us. Amen? Hey, this is deep, but it's practical. Amen? So he says, keep a tight rein on your tongue. He deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that that God our Father accepts pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Pure religion. You know, we like to not look at Christianity really as one of the big religions. It's more about relationship. This is given that pure definition of what religion it really is, looking after widows and orphans, staying unspotted from the world. Amen? We have a relationship with God, and we can walk out his love. Praise the Lord. Now go to James 3. We're going to go through this line by line. The Bible says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Wow, we want to be able to, if we're going to be speaking it and teaching it, we want to live it out. Amen? We want to live out what we say. We want to speak and say and live. "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." So now he's emphasizing again what we say. If we can keep in check, if we can bridle our tongue and speak life rather than death, speak healthy, then we can, praise God, we can win the victory in all parts of our life. Amen? That's the power of our words. He goes on to say, let's follow through. Verse 3, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal," praise God, "or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It can corrupts the whole person, set the whole course of life on fire, and it is itself on fire by hell." Okay? This is the tongue of an unregenerated person who is speaking the things around them, the world. But church, we're who are born again. Our tongue shouldn't be like that. Our tongue should speak the life of God. Amen? You think about it, in riding a horse, I had to learn that as an adult a little bit. My wife grew up with it, growing up riding a horse bareback all around the fields. But you know, you put those reins and that bit in their mouth, and you get it nice and tight, that horse can't take off running. That emotion can't take off running when it's bridled and you yank hard one side. He can't go forward bucking you off. He's only got to go in a circle. Because you can control them by that bit. You say, man, you can control that horse, or you can control that large ship with a small rudder. In the same way, he's saying the emphasis of this tiny part of the body, the tongue, can control the life around you, the life of how you live. It's so important that we speak the word of God. Come on now, remember, you got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. So he puts the emphasis of our salvation, of believing and speaking, how much more we need to continue to speak the words of life about everything he says, about our marriage, our children, our job, the world around us, and not be influenced by what the world says, but be influenced by the Spirit of the Lord in us and speak what he's saying rather than our emotions or circumstances around us. Are you with me? This is possible, church. We don't have to have a negative confession, a negative mouth. We don't have to fall into the world's ways of how they think and speak. We've got the kingdom of God living in us, and we can live accordingly and speak according to the word of God. You can. It's in there. The Spirit of the Lord wants to lead you in how we think and how we act and how we speak, because it's a good thing. It's a right thing. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Verse 9, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we can curse men who have been made in God's likeness." Men don't ever want to curse or put down another man who's been made in the image of God. Just know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. If that man becomes born again, it would change the way. So we're not angry at an individual or a person. It's the enemy behind them that has blinded their minds. And if that enemy, if that becomes open and the light of the truth shines in their heart, that person too can be born again. And who are you to know if God has a calling on that person's life and we're speaking negative and cursing them because they're not born again? There was a time that you weren't born again. So we want to believe and speak life. Amen?
Yes.
In all circumstances, and believe for them. Praise God. If they're regenerate now and living a certain way that's vulgar and ugly and all kind of things, just know, praise God, God's working on that person's going to get born again a year or two from now. So we don't want to be speaking negative about somebody who's going to be our brother and sister in Christ. Regard no one from a worldly point of view.
No.
Hallelujah. Amen. Taming the tongue. With the tongue we can praise our Lord and Father, or we can curse men. Out of the verse 10, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, church, that evil tongue it's talking about is not your tongue. Your tongue now, praise God, is the member and you are the body of Christ himself. So now my tongue belongs to the Lord and is holy. Amen? Your body is holy. Your body is a temple of the living God. Amen? The Spirit of God lives in you. We are to take care of it, nourish it, praise the Lord. And our tongue now belongs to him. Speak that. If it hasn't been, give it to him. Lord Jesus, I've struggled in this area. Now I give you my tongue. Remind me of this word and help me to only speak life and not death. Help me to speak blessing and not cursing. Teach me this is what your Spirit of the Lord inside me is doing. Help me to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit more so than my flesh or emotions around outwardly. I consider my flesh dead to sin. I'm alive to you, God. Help me to live it and speak it each and every day. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Praise God. Let's continue. Amen. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, quote unquote, does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every kind of evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Wisdom from heaven is peace-loving, loves peace, considerate and submissive. Wisdom from heaven is considerate of the other person and submissive to one another, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, it gets a little more focused here. I want to share this with you. Chapter 4, look at verse 1 and 2 with me. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something and don't get it. Okay, now watch this. The Word of God is saying what causes fights and quarrels? It's our own desires on the inside. We want something and don't get it, so we fight about it. Causes quarrels. Okay? You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Say, wait a minute, what causes fights and quarrels? It's being self-centered and having wrong motives, not asking God to be our source, but trying to fulfill through others. You quarrel and fight. You have something that you don't get. Wow. You know, Andrew Womack does a teaching. He says, the source of all grief is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Okay, think about it this way, self-conscious or self-centered, same thing. When Adam and Eve in the garden and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now they were awakened to good and evil and awaken to a self-consciousness about themselves. Now they had to cover themselves up. They recognized their nakedness and had to cover themselves up. They were more aware of self. Instead of being God-conscious, they were self-conscious. Are you following me? So self-consciousness, another word for that is self-centeredness. I'm the center of my world, my wants, my needs, my desires over my wife or family or God or others. I'm putting me first. I'm self-centered, and this is the source of all grief. You know, well, given an example, even a funeral coming up. If we really focus on the person who died, if they're born again, we ought to all be rejoicing. Our grief comes from our own self. How does this affect me? I'm going to miss her. I'm going to be so upset. How does this affect my life? We're going to miss. And the longing for us. But if we think of someone who's born again, who died, praise God, but then we rejoice. Because if we think of that person, we're rejoicing with all of heaven in them. If we think of ourselves, we grieve. Are you with me? Now, it's, you know, natural to grieve as a person's loss and understand that, but not overly so. We don't let our emotions run with it. We have control over our emotions, and we, as Christians, we rejoice because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen? So self-centeredness being the source of all grief, conflict, praise God, self being deprived of what it wants. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. I want you to flip there, see it for yourself, see it on the wall, see it in your own Bible, underline it, because we not only want you to see them on the wall, sometimes we want you to see it here where you can circle it and go back to it and reread. Some of us might need to reread this message, don't you think? Amen? I do. Praise God. Proverbs, let me do what I said too and go there. Proverbs. Where'd it go? There it is. 13. Verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Now, I'm going to step it up. In this verse, the King James says it this way. Only by pride cometh contention. Let's let that sink in and think. Only by pride comes contention. Andrew Womack puts it this way. Pride isn't the leading cause of contention, quarrels, argument, strife. It's the only cause. Could that be real? Is that right? Let's think this through. Pride being the only cause of contention? Wow. I'm not talking about just not an arrogant pride. There's pride in different ways. On the other end, there's an arrogant, boastful pride of thinking too much of yourself and wanting your own desires above others. So you put yourself ahead of others. That certainly is pride and will cause contention and quarrels, right? But on the other end, he talks about, you know, pride also being someone who's self-humiliating, self-debasing, shy, timid, not wanting to stepping out because they're, why? That's a source of pride too, actually. It's too worried about what others think. I'll give you a prime example. I was a prime example. High school and college, I didn't want to get up in speech class and give a speech. I was too nervous, worried, afraid. But what am I afraid of? A college professor told me, really, it's people who are prideful like that think too much of themselves. They think everybody's listening to every word they're going to say and they are analyzing it and thinking about you too much. And when he told me that, I said, you know what? Get up there and realize probably half the class aren't really listening. And the other half, praise the Lord, if they think about, why should I be so worried about what they think? That's actually a source of pride. I'm too prideful to share what God's saying or share thoughts and feelings. I'm worried about what others think of me. Self-centeredness. Hello? Being a little too self-centered. But when we die to self, crucified with him, now Christ lives in us. Now I can focus on not myself, but others. put others ahead of self, Christ first, others next, praise the Lord, myself, and I'm humbling myself, walk in the Spirit of the Lord, looking after others in love. That's true humility. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Not that I live, but Christ live in me. How do you want me to love others? Well, this person did this, and this person did this. I can be mad and hold grudges and hold against and hold offenses and be angry back at them. They did this to me, so by golly, I'm going to do that to them. They wouldn't do this for me, so I'm not going to do that for them. And holding, you know what? Really, the source of that is pride.
Yeah.
Yourself and your needs and wants over the other. Pride, the root source of all contention. But when we humble ourselves, looking out for the needs of others over ourselves in serving one another, praise God. That's what Christ did. All powerful, all glory. He humbled himself and became a man. Looking into hearts and struggles with people. And while we were yet sinners, he loved us anyway. So praise God, while others are offensive or mean or angry, we overlook that and just love anyway. And the love overcomes the fault. Not the anger and the fighting and proving your point to supersede, to rule over them, to lord over them. I'm right and you're wrong, and I'm going to prove it to you and show you where you're wrong and this and that. No, but love overcomes fault because love just loves. Wow. You know, in taking this, the fruit of self-control, I've spoken these things and I'm going to speak it again in faith. It's not that I'm, you know, completely have it perfectly forever, but I'm going to say it anyway because I believe in the power of my words. I refuse to be offended. I'm living by this. You can't offend me and cause me to be angry at you and hold a grudge against you and be mad at you and mess up how I feel in my relationship with God and you, because I'm not going to do it. You see, I believe it's a choice. I can refuse to let you offend me. If there's a problem here, we can just forgive, move forward, and recognize, hey, if I keep growing in the Lord, and you keep growing in the Lord, and we both have the will of the Lord, we'll be together. So praise God, let's just be patient. Hey, in this area that we're going to have a contention, I'm just waiting for either me to grow or you to grow, but at some point we'll be on the same page, amen? Amen. So why hold a grudge now and make it worse? Here's another step of that. You can't make me mad. You ever confess this because the world around you confesses it, your friends or your family, and you grew up saying, that makes me so mad. She makes me so angry. He makes me so, or that makes me so. Can a person or situation around you really make you have the emotion of anger and stay there for a day, two, 3 days a week? How long can they make you mad? Really, can they make you mad? Or is that situation or person only giving you an opportunity to be mad? And then really, you, by the Spirit of the Lord, you have a choice to listen to the voice of the Spirit, or you have a choice to let your emotions run, or you can harness your emotions, bridle that horse, yank it around, get it in control, and let your spirit rule and reign over your emotions. Can't make me mad. You can sure give me an opportunity to be angry, but I can choose to let that emotion run and be angry back and do something back to you or do something angry, or hold that until I go to bed that night and fester it, talk to a few other people about it, maybe get a posse, brother, and call a few folks and see if I can get them mad at you too. Now we got a team of mad folks, and now we can support one another in it, and we can help one another, and we can get so mad then we can X you out of our friendship, and we can all be mad together, and we can live that way for a while. Or we can do what the word says and lay our head on the pillow and not let your anger be there at sundown and go to bed every... Tyler, by faith, I speak this and live it. I lay my head on my pillow at night, not angry at anybody for any reason, ever. What a freedom. Don't have to harbor it. Don't want to have to let it grow. I don't have to add to it by, you know, hey, well, if I'm mad at this, let's go figure out and remember several other things they did in the past that I could be mad about too. And let's rewrite that again and bring it up again. Isn't that what the world does? Church, we're teaching this Christianity that it's not pie in the sky. This has come down to earth and how to live it now. Refusing to be angry, harnessing our emotions, living by the Spirit instead of by the circumstances around us. Amen? This is real. Glory to God. It's a practical truth. Hallelujah. Only by pride comes contention. Wow. Now, folks, I'm not saying we're always yielding to evil. I mean, we yield to one another in love, in decisions, in help, whatever. But we don't have to. It's not saying we're meek, not weak. We don't yield to evil. So there's contention we have. Hey, look at the contention in the politics now. Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, bam. There's a sense. We don't yield to say, hey, pride comes, hey, you know, we're voting for folks who stand for life rather than for death and abortion. And there's a conflict, there's a contention there. It doesn't matter, say, oh, okay, well, we don't want to be prideful, so we'll just give y'all your way on this and vote for evil. No, we won't. We still stand. But there's a pride sometimes in the other party saying, no, we want the right to do this or that. And so sometimes there's a stand, but we still have to do it in love, where we love the other person, recognizing that if they would awaken to the truth of God's love, they would see the issues differently. So it's not a prideful fight of a person. It's we recognize the battle is spiritual. So we humbly love others. And, you know, Christians, we don't want to so fuss and fight about folks on the other side of issues, because if they, when they come to know Christ, praise God, things will change, won't it? So you could be fussing about your own brother or your sister. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Go with me now. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, and I'll look at verse 24. Ask them to put that one on the board as well. First Corinthians 10, 24. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others. Okay? It's prideful to think of your own, to be self-centered and think of only your own good. That causes contention with others. But if we seek the good of others as Christ did for us while we are yet sinners, we can seek the good of others while they're yet sinners. Amen? Isn't that the way he did it? Isn't that the way he won us over? He won us over by loving us while we're yet sinners. So if we love anyway, praise the Lord, that has a better chance of winning them over than contention. Amen? Wow, that's simple yet profound. Deep as well. Philippians chapter 2. Flip a few more pages to the right. Philippians 2. In verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interest. We have interests given to us by God that we're following him in, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude, everybody say attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a mouthful. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Well, brother, is that possible? Can we really, should you say that? Should you tell the church that our attitude should be the same as Christ? Hey, I didn't say it. I just read it. He said it. He said that our attitude should be the same as Christ. Can that be possible? Yes, Christ lives in you. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. So speak that. My attitude can be the same of Christ because the Bible says I have the mind of Christ. I no longer think to the futility of our thinking of the past. I'm born again. I've been filled by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord lives in me. The Spirit speaks to my mind. I'm renewing on my mind by sitting here today and reading my word. I'm renewing on my mind to the truth of Christ. I now have the mind of Christ. I can have the attitude of Christ. I can walk, praise the Lord, in the attitude of Christ during the day. What's my attitude toward the folks? Like Christ. What's my attitude toward work? Like Christ. What's my attitude toward my family, to my wife, to my children? Like Christ. Hey, we're growing in it always, but we're speaking it because it's the truth. It's what He says about you. Rather than what others say or you say about yourself, what does He say about you? No, let that come out of your mouth. And believe it and grow with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your attitude should be the same of Christ. What was that? Verse 6. Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death on the cross. But Lord, I don't want to forgive others. I don't want to let things go. I don't want to not be angry when they're angry. But anyway, Lord, I'll humble myself and become obedient to death. I'll do it your way, Lord, because it's you who saved me and you live in me. How do you want me to treat this person or that person or my job or my work? And you don't want me to hang out with those speaking negative? You want me to speak life and be blessing? Okay, Lord, not my will, but yours. I'll be obedient like Christ because I have the attitude of Christ. Hallelujah. Wow. This is blessing me already. Is it helping anyone?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Then go to Ephesians from Philippians. Just flip back a page or two. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We're not going to live as those who aren't born again in the futility of thinking like the world. No, we're not going to do that. Verse 22. 4:22. You were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Everybody say the attitude of my mind. So we're being made new in the attitude of our minds because we're having the attitude of Christ now by the word of God. He lives in us. Now I have the mind of Christ. I have the attitude of Christ. I have the love of Christ. And this is who I am now. And this is the way I'm going to live. So we're going to speak to each other this way. We're not joining the negative posse talking negative about people and things. We're going to speak life. We're going to speak blessing. We're going to harness our emotions, praise God, and not let them run wild, getting us offended and mad and hating. And we're going to harness that because we can, because the fruit of the Spirit of self-control is in you. The Holy Spirit in you has no problem with self-control. Amen. The problem, the battle's in the mind, and the mouth declares who's winning. Amen. So let's let our mouth start declaring who's winning to our mind. Praise the Lord. John chapter 16, verse 33. See, I'm going to get that. Here we go. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Church, I'm telling you these things in the name of Jesus, that in the world there's still going to be quarrels and dissensions and problems and strife, but you don't have to go there. In Christ, He's already overcome the world, and that victory is in you. So don't be a part of those factions, dissensions, and strife, praise God. Be a part of the peace of God that's in your heart overflowing to the situation. situation around you. Did he not tell the disciples, you can go into a place and say, my peace, peace be with you? And you can bring your peace into a troubled situation on the job, in the home, wherever you are. You can bring the peace of God in it. How? Speak it. Some contentions rising up at work. This is happening. This boss is angry at this one. This is, and the kingdom of God dwells in you, and God will give you the right thing to say. You say, yeah, but no, brother, you know, I know the other side of that guy. He's really trying to help his family. He's struggling right now. Let's fussing about him, let's pray for him. You can bring peace to a trying situation. Because the peace of God in you is greater than the strife that's in the world. Really is. Really is. Praise God. You know, it doesn't look like that way outwardly all the time, but it's an inward thing first, and then it comes out. Praise the Lord. John 14. Again, let's look at verse 1 this time. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Letting our hearts be troubled is displaying a lack of trust for God.
Yes.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Here's an example of that. Watch this.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have to let my wants and desires put over someone else's wants and desires, which is pride, get into the way, cause quarrels and fights. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have to want. He's my peace. He's my provider. He's my blessing. In him I have salvation. So I don't have to want for this, 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 and this to make me happy. I'm already happy. I have the joy of the Lord inside. I've already won the big game. Praise the Lord. He won it for me. Amen. The biggest problem in life, death, separation from God in hell forever, has already been solved by Christ himself. He won the victory, made me right with God. I have peace with God, so I can have peace with my brother and sister in the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't have to be troubled. If I've got the biggest problem solved, then all the rest look like small potatoes to me, and I can walk above them.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, and he's a good, good shepherd. So good that I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's the one that leads me by still waters. Do you know what? And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I still don't have to fear evil because I know you are with me. So I can have the peace of God and the attitude and the mind of Christ. Because Christ, oh wow, I just felt this all around this room. Just take a deep breath. Relax, blow it out, and receive the peace of God. You feel it? I'm not being weird or anything. I'm telling you, the peace of God is tangible. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. Wow. I don't just do that here in front of church sometimes. Sometimes I just go out in the yard and lift my hands and do the same thing. Take a deep breath and sense and feel and be aware of his presence and his peace. You're in a conflict, a trying situation, whatever. Walk away for a moment. Rein in your tongue before it goes and runs with emotions and starts speaking things out of emotion. Change, walk away, take a deep breath, listen to the voice of the Spirit, and maybe don't say anything until the Lord gives you the word of what to say and how to say it. Wow. How about that? Anybody take that? Hey, take that one today. Praise the Lord. It'll help us. Christianity is a practical thing of living out what's inside of us. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord Psalm 34, 1 through 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. What's going to continually be in my lips?
His praise.
Even in trying times, even in contentions times, if we stop and thank the Lord and praise the Lord for all his blessing and his goodness, I'm telling you, the problem you're looking at will go smaller and you'll see things in a bigger way. And the Lord will help you to speak love and speak life rather than letting your emotions run. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Matter of fact, I want to flip there with you. Philippians 4:4, we're almost closing time. Let's see, yeah, I'm getting ready to close. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, church, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious or worried. Okay? In the world you have tribulation, trouble, trial, but be of good cheer. Take heart because I've overcome the world. Do not be anxious about anything. Trust in God. Trust in me. Okay? But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't go fighting for it. Don't go arguing. Don't go in dissensions. Trust in me, pray together, believe, receive from him, okay? By prayer and petition, present your request to God, and watch this, verse 7. And here's what will happen. And the peace of God, which transcends, goes beyond, super above all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And all around, the peace of God, which transcends, people don't understand it, will guard my heart and my mind. Mine's fixed on him and who we are in him. Praise the Lord. Closing, I'll just say, look, the title of the message, Harnessing Our Emotions. We can choose to be angry or not. We can choose to let our emotions run or stop in the spirit and harness the emotion, bridle our tongue. Wait, listen to the voice of God and speak life. We can do it, church. I believe, hey, I'm going to a church with a bunch of folks. Some of them I've been in church with 10, 20 years that are already practicing these things. They're already a blessing. We speak life to one another. Even when there's a trial or trouble, when we pray with each other on the phone or help one another, we're not speaking the problem. We're speaking the answer. Guys, this is a lifestyle you can live. You can bless. Be around others. If someone around you, hey, look, here's a good way to get into it. You want to get into this word, be around others? Look, this fall, September, we're having a new quarter of classes, September, October, November, one quarter, 3 months. If you're scared to commit to a long time, you don't have to commit to 3 months. Come sign up for a class. Come at 9:30 instead of 10:30. Get involved in this small group, whether it be the ladies' class, the senior class, one of the young adult classes, whatever. Study the word together. Speak life to one another, and it will help you grow. You start, if there's trouble in that room with a family member, whatever, y'all pray for one another. It doesn't have to come from the pastor, praise God. We pray for each other. We grow together in those small groups. It'll help you. Why I suggest the Sunday school hour? Because praise God, we have a nursery. We have something for the kids, the teenagers, everything. It just makes it easy and convenient for the whole body. If you want to meet in a home on a Thursday night in a small group, I encourage you, develop those groups. Do that. Learn. Go over the messages we went over. Go over a lesson. Do something, praise God. Or, praise God, you can come on Sunday morning. So be prepared if you're not in a group already. This fall, September, get in one maybe for your first time. Grow in it. Come an hour early. Just getting yourself up an hour. The other thing is this. Hayes mentioned during the announcements time. We created a new group, little Facebook group called Fast and Pray Wednesdays. On your page, you can look up Fast and Pray Wednesday. And maybe if they have other ones, put in River of Life Winsboro. It'll go to that. You can join the group. You can see specifically what we're praying for together. There is a calendar right outside the door on the table to the left, church. It has a calendar of this upcoming month from now till about 5 or 6 weeks from now. It shows what day will be in Kenya, what day will be in Tanzania, what days will be in Rwanda. I am asking you to pray for us because I believe your prayers will have an impact. Okay? We're fasting during lunch. We're just asking you if you want to join us in there or not. That's okay. You can skip lunch and pray during that time. Go and pray somewhere. We're praying right here from 11:45 to 12. We're making it simple. Wherever you are, you can take those 15 minutes and just join us in prayer. What to pray for? It's on the sheet. Amen. When we go through the mission trip, and also I'm asking this church as the sponsoring church for Real Church Clearwater, this is a crucial time in this last month. He's building a team, praise God. We just planted our daughter down there. We took her down. She's all settled, got her schedule in the school, moved in with David John, tried out and made the worship band. That's a good thing. Met the soccer coach, praise God. You know, some of you question whether our daughter is going off on her senior year. Listen, my wife don't do anything unless we pray. And the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. So just join faith with us because it's a good thing. Amen. So praise the Lord, pray and believe with that. Hallelujah. It's blessed. So she is actually going to be singing tonight at their launch team training. These next few Sundays, there's launch. They have a team of about 45 to 55 that he's recruited already that's going to be helping set up the church on Sunday inside Clearwater High School. They got to worship. So we need to pray that God will add. He wants to add another 50 before then and have a team of 100. So we need to pray that God will send more people in to get the team started. Then a mail out. I'm going to give you this specifically because I want your specific prayers. A mail out is going like a week and a half before the first service. A mail out that shows Real Church and what it's about to 100,000 homes. 100,000 homes. Because ARC, the Association of Related Churches that does this, believes and they have statistics to show that about 0.25% of those who receive that mailer will actually respond to it by coming, which means if that happens, there'll be 250 people show up in addition to that 100. That could start a church with 350 people on the first week. We want to pray over that mailer that the Holy Spirit will speak to those homes and get it in the right home. Praise God, that God has a church that's paying for a catering service to cater a meal on August the 19th, coming up Sunday night, where all the worship team and others that are coming together will have a meal together to see what it looks like. Our Fresh Start ladies sewed together some black material for in Clearwater High School auditorium. They're going to cover some of the back seats because they want everybody up in the first 250 seats. Amen. So these are some things that are rolling, but we need to hit it again for the momentum with prayer. So if you want to fast and pray with us, one more thing. We have a commitment together with Pastor Kelvin Davis of Faithful Followers Church. They tithe here, a different church tithes to this church because they believe in what we're doing. Well, it's overflowed to blessings. They have some land, have some property. We're looking at, praise the Lord, possibly buying, purchasing, helping him get the empty Ford's Food Center there and the Dollar General where he could renovate that building for his church rather than build for scratch. And it's looking like we're on the verge of making it happen. Amen. So pray that thing through. Amen. Hallelujah. On that sheet also, Hayes mentioned the football team's coming here Tuesday. Praise God. Andrew's going to be speaking another word to them. The whole staff of Winsboro Elementary is coming Thursday. We're going to feed them. This church not only doing world outreach around the world, but in our own children's ministry, praise God, and youth, and then all out to our area. So be in prayer with us. And if you can't join us during that lunch hour, just remember us when you can. Amen. Father, we're so thankful today. Lord God,